Thank you. I just received something in the mail from Swami Ramdas. I'd like to share it with you. It's entitled, "The Name is God." God and His name are not distinct from one another. Name is God Himself. The moment we think of the name, our mind is filled with the presence of God. There is no easier way of focusing thought upon God than taking constantly His name. When we repeat the name aloud, we feel our heart is flooded with the ecstasy of love, because the sound of the divine name awakens the heart to the bliss and love of God. Although mental repetition of the name is held to be far more efficacious than the verbal repetition, still the rare experience of sweetness and joy derived by uttering the name aloud is incomparable. When the entire being of the devotee thrills with rapture to the music of the name, he realizes that the name is Brahman. God is both manifest and unmanifest. The name stands for such a God. Here the unmanifest is the all-pervading, infinite, immutable, tranquil, and static spirit of God. The manifest is the entire universe of name, form, and movement with all its beings, creatures, and things. The name stands for this all-inclusive and all-transcendent Godhead who is both personal and impersonal. The divine name is thus the beginningless source of all creation and the creation itself. God the Absolute is the nameless name. The name can free the soul from bondage. The name can take it to the highest consummation of spiritual life. The name can grant a blind soul divine sight. The name can bless an individual with a universal vision full of sublimity. The name can lift the soul to inconceivable heights of God realization. The power of the name is invincible. The mind, which is considered to be unconquerable, by the soothing influence of the name becomes docile, yielding, and submissive. The mind itself is transformed into God by the power of the name. He who takes refuge in the name can work wonders. Death itself will stand in awe of him. He can command all the forces of nature and direct them to bring about a spiritual awakening in the hearts of men. The name can make a human being an embodiment of eternal love and joy. The name can convert an individual into a cosmic reality, an ignorant soul into a very God. Where the name of God is sung, the atmosphere with purity, peace, and bliss, for the symphony of the name spreads everywhere the splendor of love. The name is all-sufficient. The utterance of it is itself meditation. The ecstasy born of it is itself samadhi. The name is love, light, power, and joy. The writer can vouch from it from his own personal experience that the name by itself, without any other sadhana, can grant one of the fullest vision of God everywhere and make it merge him in an ocean of never-ending love and joy. There is no sadhana which can be so universally adopted by all people and is at the same time so simple for realizing God as the divine name. It is perfectly true, in the words of a saint, that he who has God's name always on his tongue is a jiva mukta, or a liberated soul. So, dear friends, to whatever race, caste, creed, or color you may belong, take up the name of God and feel the sweet communion with it, and you may depend upon it. Your souls, through constant bathing in the nectar of the name, will not only be purified, but will also be illumined with the omnipresent and omniscient light and love of God. This practice of taking the name will lead the unyielding spirit of man to complete surrender to the omnipotent power and will of God. In the earlier stages, when the name is repeated with earnestness, faith, and concentration, the face and the body of the devotee will shine with a peculiar luster. His mind will be filled with wisdom and heart with love. This is due to the predominance of sattva guna in the devotee. Later, when the repetition is continued with the same zeal, he will behold the universe before him as the very expression of God. Becoming one with God, he will have the vision of God everywhere. Verily, the name is God Himself. Isn't that beautiful? It is so true. Do we have anything special we'd like to speak of this evening? Anybody want to talk about anything?
Several places in the Psalms, the phrase is used, my soul is cast down. What is he referring to there, Mother?
Well, we seem to be talking about the dark night of the soul a great deal lately, almost every question that comes up. But this is the way the soul feels when it is in this experience of the dark night. And it seems as though it is cut off from all contact from God. It seems to the soul that it isn't making any progress at all. But this, in truth, is not so, you see. Because the very fact that it is going through this state of darkness is evidence in itself that it is making tremendous spiritual progress. And what is happening is that although the soul thinks it is in darkness, the light of God is shining to dispel, to disperse all of the things, the impurities, which are keeping it from realization of the great light which is within itself. So until all of this darkness which is accumulated through incarnation after incarnation is disposed of, is gotten away from, and this is rather a painful process, then this great light cannot be seen by the soul. And so, therefore, it feels cast down. So many people say, I go up and then I go down. And it seems as though I'm not making any progress at all. One time I'll be filled with the ecstasy and the bliss of God. Everything will be wonderful. I will feel the tremendous exhilaration. And then maybe the next day I will be cast as though it were into the very depths of hell. And then you have so many things come up, more problems than you've ever heard of before in your life. And you think to yourself, what shall I do? If I were truly with God, if His grace was shining upon me, these things would not be so. And yet quite the reverse is true. Because when these things come to us, these are the tests, the experiences which are necessary to take the soul to God. Because from every single experience which you have, you gain wisdom, especially if your mind and your heart and your soul are dedicated to the attainment of oneness with the Divine Beloved. There can be no doubt about it. But there must be complete surrender, you see. And we give up so little for the eternal bliss of God. This that Papa has said is a tremendous truth. Master said the same thing in his little pamphlet, which some of you received, I think, at Christmas time, in how we can talk with God. He said almost these identical words, that if you will take the name of God, if you will think of Him, if you will speak only of Him, this is meditation in itself. And you see, Spirit existed before any of this creation. And this is what we call Brahman, you see. But when Spirit started to create, then He became both God the Father and God the Mother. This was a necessity. And so, we do not feel, most of us, that we can speak to Spirit as such, because it's an undefined quality, an undefined substance. We know that it contains with it in itself all power, all light, all wisdom, all bliss. We know this. But it seems as though in one state of our development, as though we must have something more tangible. And the minute we think of God the Father or God the Divine Mother, we think of God in the personal sense. Now, we have said many times that gradually we become personal in God. In the divine sense, this is true. And yet we never lose our personal consciousness of God and of all of God's children, no matter how far we go. You see, but it is taken out of the humanness into the divine, rather than to stay in the lower levels, which are governed and controlled by the three lower spinal centers. Then the consciousness goes up and functions from the state of Christ consciousness. Because don't forget that that which seems to be solid is not solid. It is only a condensed form of vibration. This body, while it seems to be a form. I can touch it, you can touch it, you can touch your own body, and to us it seems like it is solid, but in truth it is not. And Master brings out the point that the body is made of the five elements of earth, of fire, of water, of ether, and of air. And he says that the five fingers represent these five elements of the body, and even man himself, as he stands with his legs apart and his arms outstretched, is in the form of a five-pointed star representing these five elements, you see. And he says that the thumb is thick because that represents the earth element. And then the first finger represents water. And the third one, being the longest and the thickest of the fingers, represents fire, the eternal going forth. The fourth finger represents air, and the smallest finger, because it is the finest and most infinitesimal, represents the substance of ether. So in the sense that we want to worship God, you see, we must recognize that everything in this world is fluid, you see. The body is made up of molecules, and they in turn make electrons, and they in turn that goes on and on and on into infinite dimensions, actually, as to the finer points of what man is made of. But he is made up of electrical currents of infinite or cosmic intelligence. It is said that everything in the universe is cosmic consciousness, cosmic energy, and cosmic mass, or the materiality. But it is all God, you see. And we are so prone to separate our idea or our consciousness of the body from God himself. But after he created heaven and earth, he created all of the flowers, the herbs, the trees, the fruit. And then he created the sea, you see, and all of the things that are in it. And he created animals in the earth. And then he made his final creation. And it says that in the image of God made he man. So it is God himself manifested in human flesh. Just like it says in the Bible, you see, he who does not acknowledge that the Christ has come in the flesh is an antichrist of every man. But he must realize his divinity. Man cannot say in his human state, I am one with God, because he is not. He must rise to this state. And he accomplishes this purpose only by going down into the valley, by going through these experiences which seem to make his soul filled with waste. It is cast down. And he thinks he is accomplishing nothing. He thinks his foot has slipped. He has retrogressed. And this isn't so, because this is the way to go down, to laugh a little, to live a little, to cry a little, to gain more experiences. And as you gain these experiences, which cause both joy and suffering, then the consciousness expands and is purified, so that the next time you get up or go up the mountain, into the mountain of your own being, this consciousness being expanded can accept and can realize and understand more of God's wisdom. So this is the way it goes. This is the path. And never think, because you seem to retrogress, that you are no longer on the path to God. Never think that you have fallen from grace in that sense. If your foot has slipped, surely you know that it was not the right thing to do, so you pick yourself up and you get going, but you don't think constantly of the sin. You ask forgiveness of God because you know you have gone against his law. But forget that sin and again put your attention upon God. I remember that Master told about a man who had attained tremendously high spiritual consciousness. And all of a sudden a woman who was most attractive appeared before him and tempted him, and he succumbed to temptation. And this was a terrific thing for him, because he felt that he had fallen from grace eternally. So one of the devotees who was listening to Master said, "Well, Master, isn't this a terrible thing? This man was lost to the kingdom of heaven forever." Master said, "No, my son, this is not so." He said, "The man picked himself up again And he tried to rise once more to God. And he said, God is not unfeeling. He listened to him. And he said he overcame his weakness and obtained his oneness with God. This is the great hope for all of us who are sinners. We cannot help but slip once in a while, no matter how pure we think we are, how hard we try, because we are in the human state. And this duality around us, which tempts us constantly, is a terrific thing to cope with. But we go through it day by day, not realizing, most of us, just exactly what we are accomplishing. Many times we have people come before us who seem our veritable enemies. They try to keep us from life. But don't let anyone ever do this to you. You have the privilege of life. Because you are God's child, you have the right to express your own individuality, your own personality, your own consciousness of God. No man, no woman has the right to deprive you of that, nor to take your will away from you. And if you permit them to do so, then you are guiltier than they are. You make yourselves a party to that sin. Not anyone is like anyone else, don't you see? But some people complement each other. But you can't always be like this together. You see, you must go together like this. This dissension, in many cases, and this difference of opinion is necessary in the beginning, because this is a softening up process which takes place. And it weeds out many of the things that need to be weeded out. Because so many of us are children, we're childlike. We need to become adults. And we need to become adult in the spiritual sense, and yet, strangely enough, paradoxically enough, having become adults, then we must become like little children before we can enter the kingdom of God. But it is all this process that we go through which finally helps us to accomplish this, don't you see? If everything goes smoothly all the time, we don't grow and we don't develop. But we can't take too much of this all of the time, because we break under it. And so we must have the strength and the courage and the fortitude to stand on our own two feet and be the masters of our own destiny, to be courteous, to be kind, to be considerate, to serve the Lord in all people, but to demand the love, the respect, the courtesy, the attention that is our due as God's children. No one has the power to take away. And when you permit somebody to do that to you, you are retarding their progress, because they must be made to realize that they cannot live someone else's life for them. I have been through this experience, and I know that many of you have been through this experience. People trying to stop you almost from living, from expressing yourself, until you feel like you're in a dark hole and that you want to pull it in after you. And you are fighting for your very life, for your very existence. And you cannot permit this to happen. But you know, strangely enough, if you want God badly enough, if you have God's love, if you realize that you are His child, if you have this softness, this kindness, this love in your heart, God will send that little glimmer of light to you. And He will say, come, my child, I know that you are clear down here in the darkness of the earth, but don't forget that heaven, that place of light, is up here. Come, make the effort, and I will lead you and guide you and direct you and show you how to once more be a child of light. And when you take your stand, without fighting, but just in the silence, in the fullness, in the complete confidence of God within yourself, then something happens inside of you. And you cannot be hurt. You cannot be imposed upon. You cannot be stepped upon. And you begin to express yourself little by little until gradually this expands. Now, you will still get this opposition, but you will have control over it. And this opposing force will know it. It will know it. And it will know that it is a lost cause. And so then it takes another angle sometimes. It takes the angle of extreme softness, because don't forget that Jesus said that Satan even took on the guise of God, and so he does, to come and to tempt you in many ways. And if he can't get his way one way, he will do it another way. But remember, don't take the soft way, the easy way out, because there's such a tremendous change from what you've been going through. Remember still to keep your full attention upon God, upon the infinite. Ask Him for the greatest gift that anyone can have in this world, the gift of Himself, the gift of His love, of His wisdom, of His light. As Master said, you can talk with God. Now all of us talk with God. We are constantly praying to Him. We ask Him for things. We ask Him for His love. We ask Him to help us with all of our problems. But most of us don't expect Him to answer us. But in truth, He can and He will, if you but make the effort. Insist that He do it. Master says that if you call upon the name of the Lord for 24 hours unceasingly, that the Lord cannot refuse your demand or your request. He must come to you. He must answer you. But how many will do that? I know a woman who recently went into a retreat over a weekend. It was the first time she'd ever done this in her life. She's a great soul. She wants God with all of her heart. But having always been in a place where if she was alone, she could turn on television, she could turn on the radio, she could pick up the telephone and call somebody, or she could pick up a book and read it, or she could do housework or make herself busy with a thousand things. She was in a place of retreat with nothing to do but to face herself, her own soul, and to thresh things out between herself and God. And this was a tremendous experience for her. She couldn't stand this aloneness. Did you ever try it? Just you and God alone in an empty room or out in the forest someplace? It's quite an experience to face yourself, to search your own soul, because sometimes you don't like all that you see there. You see, the greatest test, if you can honestly face yourself, sincerely delve into the innermost secret corner of your soul, and if with this self-analysis, this self-searching, this seeking, this probing, you come out of that experience pleased with yourself, then you are really on the road. And yet the greatest is never pleased with himself, because he says, Lord, Lord, only thou. I am nothing beside thee. And so it is. Nothing beside thee. And yet we say, what can we do? What gift do we have to give to the Lord? We have the gift of him. And you know, this is like the story of the poor man in India who had nothing but a mud hut, and yet he wanted so much for the king of the province to visit him. And he prayed the Lord unceasingly, and he told everybody how much he wanted this king to visit him. So the king happened to hear about this, and he decided that he would grant the request of his subject. But knowing that all things should be just so for the visit of a king, he sent his couriers ahead, and he sent them to clean the hut up and to put carpets on the floor and to put garlands of flower around, to get the necessary furniture, the necessary food, and everything was prepared in the way that it should be prepared for the coming of the king. And so the king came and visited this humble subject, and everything was made ready for him. And it is just so that the Lord does for each of us. When we want him badly enough, he goes before us preparing the way, and yet we don't understand the way that he does it. We ask him to come, but we have our own idea of how he is to manifest himself, how all of this is to be accomplished. And yet it can't be accomplished in any way but that way which is necessary to purify us. And each one has his own experiences in God. But God makes the castle ready, the humble abode ready, I should say, until it is like a castle, ready, waiting for the coming of his presence. And when this happens, when God comes to you, then you have an experience which makes all previous experiences in your whole existence, in your wildest dreams, pale into insignificance beside it. Because it is absolutely indescribable. So when you come to the point where with all of your heart, your mind, and your soul, you talk to God, you tell Him you want to attain your oneness with Him, and you stick with it, not as a beggar, but as a child of God, demanding your own right from your Father, then He will answer you. He answers you sometimes in words. He answers you sometimes in vibrations. He answers you in thoughts. He answers you in feelings. But you can actually hear the voice of God. I know this because I have done it. God, in His graciousness, has come and spoken to me. I have spoken to Him. He has listened to me, and He has answered me in return. And anyone who wants to do this can do this. Anyone. But you must want it more than anything in this world. Because, as I say, nothing else is worthwhile except this. And if you put God first, if you ask Him first for Himself, then remember that even those things which you have not asked for, He will give you. I was reading a chapter in the Bible tonight which fit in with this very well. It was taken from Kings. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give thee." And Solomon said, "Thou hast showed unto thy servant David my father great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is in this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. And I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people?" And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, "Because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment, behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways, to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days." Isn't that wonderful? And again, in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13, "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord. And I will turn away your captivity. And I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive." So you see, when the soul is cast down, the soul is going through this experience of captivity. But because it is going through these tremendous experiences and feels this way, this is the process that it must go through in order to be released from the consciousness of the three bodily jars. And when any of you go through these experiences, know this, and apply what is being said to you and what you will find in all of the great scriptures to your present problem, no matter if I am with you or if I'm in some distant city. It makes no difference, because you see, when the Spirit of the Lord has come to you in a certain form to lead you to God, that one is with you always, no matter where, to the farthest corners of the earth. And that one manifests. They have the power by location, and yet they themselves do not have this power. It is God himself who works this power through that one. This is the spiritual ambience, or the spiritual field of magnetism, which flows from God through that one to all of those whom that one is to take to God himself. Now realize that no matter who it might be, that that one himself does not take you, but it is God working through that one who takes you. Let no one set himself up as being great, because he who would be the greatest among you must be the servant of all. Give all power, all credit, all glory to the Lord, because it is he alone who does all things. It is his glory that manifests, his power, his wisdom, his light, and his love. And don't forget, the greatest way that you can take anybody to God is to love them with all of your heart. Give them the love of God from your being. Because through kindness, through gentleness, through love, you can move mountains. You yourself know how you respond to love. And if somebody asks you to do something kindly, and because you know they love you, you will do it willingly. You will go far beyond what they have asked you to do. This is the truth. But speak to God and let him answer you. Let him direct you in all of your ways. Remember that this way to the Lord is the straight and narrow, just like a razor's edge. And test it so that you know that this is God speaking to you. And gradually, as he speaks to you, as you get this through feeling, through listening, through seeing many times, then you will come to know which is the true voice of God and which is not. There will be no mistake. You will have understanding for all men. How can you hope to have understanding for those who will come to you in the future with their problems if you first have not gone through these experiences and suffered in your own heart, your own mind, your own soul? Remember what it says, that taking the name of the God, of God constantly, can do all things. It can heal the sick. It can raise the dead. It even told about the blind man who had lost his sight and yet who saw in the divine light of God. God, all things possible. Take his name. Keep it forever upon your lips. And as you go ever closer to him, he will take you into his heavenly kingdom. And you will live not in one world, but in two worlds. And eventually you will live on many planes. You will travel to many places. And you will see beauty such as you have never seen before. But the greatest beauty of all is the countenance of the Lord, the glory which shines on his face. And when you get to this higher stage, you see the whole universe as the body of God. And you know that you are a cell in that body, that you are functioning in complete and perfect harmony because you want only to do his will. You have used your will to make your will subject to his will, because this is your will to do so. This is what you want. You don't want anything else but the will of God. You don't want anything else but harmony with his law, because you've tried these other things and you have come out wanting. You have suffered because you've gone against the law of your own being. Stand upright. You are a child of God. Walk in his light. Know that you are one with him, and let no man call you slave, but rather know that you are the expression of the greatest master and the only master there is, and that is God alone. God alone. Remember this. Remember this. I want to tell you the story of my little granddaughter Leslie tonight. When she got home, her little turtle was dead, and her little heart was broken. This child is very great in God because her mommy has taught her to be this way. And so she, having cried, why, she wanted to bury her turtle. So she prepared it. She went out and dug a grave for it. And she buried it. And she said, "Goodbye, little turtle. I love you very much. And God bless you." And she asked her mommy for a spoon to put as a cross on the head of her little turtle. Do you see how wonderful it is when we train these little ones in God? Because they can't ever escape from Him. And they have this love for God in all living things. And this is what each of us should have. This God is so wonderful. Oh, Heavenly Father.
Holy Mother,
Divine Mother,
Divine Mother,
I feel the wonder and the beauty
of Thy glorious presence
in every part of my being. My heart is bursting with my love for Thee. I kneel in adoration at Thy feet. And surrender myself to Thee.
I feel the power of thy perfection.
Surging in every cell of my body.
My mind and my intelligence.
Are radiant with thy healing light. My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss.
Of my communion with thee.
I and my Father are one.
Blessed Spirit, I am He.
O Heavenly Father.
May thy love shine forever.
Upon the sanctuary of my devotion. May I be able to awaken thy love in all hearts.
And bring them to thee.
Peace. Bless.